and we're about to enter the hang zone. Actually, we're in the hang zone, right?
But yeah,
this hour
always
is the hang zone. I haven't really gotten any Blake confirmation. Do we have special guests online?
You or we. We're good.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Anyway, joining us in the hang zone for this hour, he is best known from being on the morning show on The Ticket in Dallas. He is the great Gordon Keith.
Yay!
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You remember the rant?
I do remember the rant.
Dude, that was great.
I do remember the rant.
When are you guys going to bring that back?
Next Thursday. Next Thursday, we're going to do it every Saturday.
Dude, next Thursday, I'm not sure when that is. Before we get started, let's tell you or us, what day is it? What day is it? Does anyone know?
I have no clue. I'm out of sorts.
And now, Quarantine Bad Radio proudly presents What Day Is It?
Thursday, the day before Friday, the day after Wednesday, 2 days after Tuesday.
All right.
This has been What Day Is It? Exclusively on Bad Radio.
Who was singing that?
I don't know.
That sounds like the same guy who sang the I personally believe that U.S. Americans. You ever heard that?
Oh, no? Of course.
Okay.
I've heard it on your program.
Okay,
so,
good.
Gordon, you must be very upset there are no sports. How are you getting through this difficult time?
I'm pissed. It's time to reopen our sports leagues. Those athletes deserve a chance.
I'm going to agree. So what do you want to do here for an hour? Want to hang?
Well, I didn't know I was supposed to come up with the plan. I'm your special guest. It's your show.
We do have an idea. We came up with, so not only the Hang Zone is our new name for this, the new bit. We're trying to do new stuff, right? During this challenging and difficult time.
That's right. These times are oh so very uncertain.
But we have something, we call it the topic wheel. So we were going to spin the topic wheel, and we were going to land on one of the following three topics, and then we're going to decide which one we want to choose. So, and then we'll talk to you about it, okay?
Okay.
The topic wheel, the categories are Stephen Paddock.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Who is?
I'd love to talk to Gordon about that.
I believe that's the Las Vegas shooter.
Yeah, a man who gunned down 500 people, and somehow we know nothing about him. And just
why'd you smile so much when I said Stephen Paddock? You got
what?
Really excited.
No,
that's, like right
you
now.
See, I get the bad rap on the station when Jake's the primary ghoul.
Man, he is over here rubbing his hands together.
I learned from the best. Look, come on. You don't even want to know anything about what his motivations were. We don't want to look into this at all. We don't want to.
I just didn't know you'd get so excited. Like you're.
No, I'm with you on the fact that it's shocking to me that we don't know more about this guy. Because he's the greatest. He has the greatest number of killed of any mass shooter. And all we have is one photograph with his eyes shut.
He's about to down a kamikaze or something.
Right.
So
it's just strange. It's like, how can a person have no pictures of themselves other than the three that we've seen?
It's like if we had no memory of Michael Jordan.
Well, he's not the I wouldn't call him the Michael Jordan of mass shooters.
Well, you said the word greatest, and then you also said shooter.
Yeah, he had the greatest number of kills in a single shooting, which is horrible.
Six-peat.
Okay, this is a kind of a mixed bag for the topic wheel. We have Stephen Paddock.
Okay.
Dale Hansen.
I was about to say, what other despot you're going to put up there? Dale Hansen, good choice, okay.
Or Jivery Wong,
who I had
not heard much about personally until I was on your program a few weeks ago, and you had told me to look into his manifesto.
Did you read it yet?
I have not. That's why it's on the topic wheel.
Oh my.
So Stephen Paddock, Dale Hansen, Jivery Wong.
Already
spin the topic
now.
Wheel, Trey. Trey is sweating. Can you hear him
already
sweat?
Already impartial now.
And it landed on Dale Hansen.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sorry, goodness. Jake. I know Jake really wanted to do the Stephen Paddock thing.
Yeah, and next time Gordon appears in the Hang Zone, we'll have to discuss how Cop put me became poor.
Put me became poor. Cop used technique of ultra modern. Cop gave me lots of ass.
Technique ultra modern.
Listen to him.
Okay. So I have some audio that I want to play for Gordon. We played a little bit of this a few weeks ago, but I am an aficionado of the local news. Gordon, do you now know that with the ultra-modern technique of YouTube TV, I can record every single second of the morning news from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m., or 10:30, I suppose, every night? It's amazing.
Every TV channel.
Every channel, every broadcast they do. The 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 10, noon, 4, 5, 6.
Gordon, what's your TV of choice in this world of switching over to streaming and cable or DirecTV? What do you do?
You know, I'm interested that Jake said YouTube TV because I always X out of that and don't know much about it. And I'm subscribed to just way, it feels like too many services, but they're all the standard ones, the Hulu, Netflix, Prime.
I think we all have those, but there's like, do you have one main? I also have cable.
Oh, okay, yeah, I have cable.
Okay.
Yeah, the old standard cable.
Yeah, and maybe I'm not really saving that much, but YouTube TV, while I don't love the interface, once you get past the learning curve, it's pretty sweet to be able to have unlimited DVR, and it never cuts off because it's recording that program, not that time slot, and it's great for pulling audio from your computer. I mean, I can pull anything the local news does up, so I watch a lot of it, and I'm particularly interested in the relationship between Pete Delkus and Dale Hansen because they essentially start doing a wacky morning show every single time they speak, even if it is only for about a minute. Now, what I think is really interesting about Dale Hansen in 2020 is that he's not only buddies with Ellen, and he's not only a guest of Ellen's, he's not only a torchbearer for the woke left.
It's unbelievable to me. The greatest reinvention of all time. You think I've changed the way I've done things in the last 5 years? Dale gets credit for changing the way he's done things in the last 5 years.
He's become our moral compass.
Right.
Yeah, and there wasn't necessarily a talisman event where, you know, if somebody goes to jail and they come out of it on the other side, you see, he's a changed man, he's reformed.
Yeah.
Or if somebody has I guess I don't know a ton about his personal life, but I don't know of any one thing that all of a sudden made him become not the 80s Dale and 90s Dale that I grew up with to the guy who's incensed that some people think it's weird to have a trans female or male. I don't really know the graph, the diagram. Like
going 40, I think Jake just stepped in it.
Going 48-0 in the state state wrestling.
I had like a thing, my bonds, or I had this thing where I had a top five guys I would be upset if you ever caught them, like in a Me Too or whatever.
Oh, it was called Griffey Bonds.
And then I had a top five people I would not even shrug.
Right.
If I heard they were in a Me Too thing, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, probably. I knew that was on the way. And Dale is on that list.
Distance.
You would just think old guy, you know, he's did his real work in the 80s. You know, it just feels like if you're from that era where you
he's
were
a good
top
time
of the,
Charlie.
Yeah, right. He's basically the Jerry of news.
If Jerry, a story comes out on TMZ about Jerry, you're like, yeah, of course.
Well, that would be, equally strange to me if all of a sudden Jerry had extremely hot, impassioned takes on culture war issues all of a sudden. That would surprise me. So, the Michael Sam thing, which has been immortalized in song, that's probably the first one.
I don't know. I don't know what that would sound like, though. Michael Sam, Dale Hansen singing about
it is
Michael
not our differences
Sam.
That divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences.
Oh.
I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's
song.
Gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Part of mine. Part of mine.
Man. Man, I've been trying to find the guy who made this song for 3 years now.
It's Brilliant.
Part of mine.
Is that a regular song that he's cribbed?
I don't think so.
Because it's so catchy.
Yeah, it sounds like the Lumineers wrote it.
Tells the world he's gay. Tells the world he's gay.
The use of scales in this song is just... So...
I want real Dale to do this at a karaoke night somewhere.
Ticket stock.
Oh, it's so great.
So ticket stock without fans.
Oh, okay, yeah, a live stream for supporting people who aren't doing
But this
so
was
good.
The thing that Michael Sam, it's the Michael Sam commentary that put Dale on the progressive map.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he said things that I heard 10 people say on the ticket the day before. But they weren't old white, thought to be
right,
not progressive guy.
That's certainly what it is.
Well, and famous, real. He's
to Dale's credit. I mean, he's a fantastic writer too, and he's able to encapsulate a lot of thoughts in those little minute or however long those things, those commentaries last. You know, give him 2 minutes, and he usually writes something very compact and profound sounding, and he's great at delivering it.
No
so I can
question.
See why it's got stickiness and viralness to it.
But for some strange turn of events, the guy that we all kind of knew as the jokester in the bar is now the man we turned to during the Botham Sean Amber Geiger news story to offer our most concise, clear-headed take. And so I guess I thought that Dale had just become full-on that guy, no traces of the past. But the more I started to watch the Channel 8 newscast every night, that's not necessarily the case. I think we have unplugged Dale, which is the Dale that gets mad about trans wrestlers and them just crushing their opponents 10 seconds at a time and flexing and saying, who wants more?
So that's the story of a female who was born in the wrong body that then dominated college wrestling after had gender reconfirming surgery.
Yeah, Mac Beggs.
I guess surgery doesn't matter.
Was her name.
Her name is Mac?
Yeah.
Well, it was.
Well, no, I think maybe it was something else and it became
Did Mac. You just dead name her?
Dan doesn't know about dead naming Gordon. He's not on the same... He doesn't delightfully watch people fight about things they don't really care about on the internet like we do. But yes, I believe she did rout her competition. And there was a lot of dads who were less than pleased to watch their daughter go out there and just get obliterated by this wrestler who appeared to,
To what?
Have a wiener.
Kind of still not necessarily be on. See, he doesn't care.
Wow.
That's the thing.
Dude.
He did.
Dude.
Hey. She did.
No,
hey,
she.
Hey.
Her body is none of your business.
Yeah.
Unless she
offers.
Gets you in a stranglehold on the mat. I'm assuming it would be then, but.
Okay.
Back to broadcasting.
Back to broadcasting.
Could.
Here's
so
Dale.
Came out and did a commentary about that.
And then, like I said, Botham. Oh, he had one on the wall. I remember. He went hot and hard and heavy at the wall whenever that was. Remember the wall, guys? We were all talking about the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we kind of let that one just.
Does he ever come out with a scorching conservative opinion?
I don't think so. He saves that for his jokes. I'll take you back to Valentine's Day of, 2020.
So tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Did you get the lovely Mrs. Hanson?
I did.
You got her a gift?
I did.
Already?
Did you get her? I got her 6 chickens in a box.
Chickens?
Live chickens.
Live chickens, yeah. Because, well, she's been Nothing having trouble getting my breakfast chickens. Ready in the morning because these chickens have not been laying a lot of eggs. And I was getting tired of it, so I said, I'm just going to get you some more chickens so you can get food in
here. Is she still on crutches?
I'm not going to sit there. Well, she was actually bringing my plate in and the crutch slipped the other day.
Oh,
I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm not walking all the way to the kitchen to get my own plate.
Well,
that's
what
it takes forever. Now, you got more chicken, so the eggs will be coming even faster.
And see,
we are having fun.
Freewheeling Dale. Having great. Fun.
Unbelievable. He's straight out of 1975 Anchorman.
And tomorrow night, Here's his take on ignoring the medical experts and what this says about where our country's headed and with Trump at the helm. I mean, and I want to be clear about something. There's absolutely no fat on that 30 seconds. That is straight to the vein humor. I love it. I laughed at all of that. I don't have a problem with it. It's just, again, the contrast of the Dale that we've come to know. Here's another one for Valentine's Day.
You walked in at 10:21. Were you guys out celebrating Valentine's Day?
Really?
In the lovely Mrs. Hanson?
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah. She's actually in a very bad mood. This is true. She was trying to get to the musical tonight.
Okay.
Because I bought her season tickets. That's what I did.
Did you really?
Did you notice the traffic out there today? I mean, she couldn't get to
STEM. It shut down.
It was stopped on 35. Yeah. She turned around and went back home. I said, good. You'll be there in time to fix me dinner when I get there.
Exactly. Perfect. What a great Valentine's Day.
Hey, Legend of Luca.
Oh, the Legend of Luca.
Yeah, let's get back on to sports.
What a transition there.
I don't know that that's getting you on, Ellen.
The being able to cook me dinner?
Yeah. It might get you on one of the comedy podcasts I listen to. I believe one of them always, the name of it really tickled Gordon, which was C-Town.
Which C word?
You pick.
One of the ones you could say in a different...
Right.
And it meant something different.
Right.
I don't think...
But it's spelled bomb, isn't it?
One of the C words...
It's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Less letters.
Less letters.
Less time writing it.
That joke would fit right in there.
So...
The thing is that I would not put it past Dale to make all these jokes. Ellen gets mad. Ellen brings him on to confront him about this, and he wins over the whole crowd. Like, he could be so funny and engaging that Dale can get away with
Ellen,
it.
Ellen, you'd cook for me, too, if you were my wife.
Yeah,
by the end of it,
say
she's
that,
agreeing.
Everyone would laugh, and she would agree.
She's laughing along.
She's dancing.
All right. One more for you. This is a bit racy.
And I did have beads that I wanted to bring in tonight, but I was afraid if I gave you beads, you'd take your shirt off. Cynthia may
good
be...
Good thinking.
There is a precedent for that. The lovely Mrs. Hanson and I went to New Orleans several years ago, and they started hollering, you know, the show me thing about the beads.
Yeah.
And I came back with about 9 beads, and she got none. I have no idea why that was. I don't think that was a compliment for either one of us. That's all I got.
You see, the joke is that I am supple man breast, and she's perhaps lacking. All right, let's get
see,
over
that's
to
pretty,
the Rangers.
That's pretty genius, because I thought that his joke was just going to be that he had big ones.
No.
But the way that he threw it in at the end about how she had none.
That is awesome.
And there's Cynthia and Pete just... laughing along, and then I guess they're supposed to just completely stand down when 2 weeks from now he gives an impassioned plea about whatever
guys,
it is that people are fighting
about women's breast.
Yeah.
All right. We continue on as Gordo will be in the hang zone for an hour, and up next we get to comment on the 1:30 news.
A Zoom fail.
Now, with Gordo in our hang zone, we do the 1:30 news with you.
Thank you, Dan. Hey, Trey.
Okay. All right, you guys are on air.
So I want to make sure that we're clear regarding the case of the aforementioned Mac Beggs, the wrestler from Euless, Texas, that Dale issued one of his infamous commentaries on. And this is all very confusing. Mac Beggs is a man who was assigned female at birth. So I believe the issue was that...
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so...
But yet he is dominating.
There's a boy at birth.
He's dominating guys.
He's changing into a woman, and then he wrestled girls.
No, I believe the situation was that this person is born with female reproductive parts, and the controversy was that as part of transitioning to become a male, they were taking... and that sounds weird, but I think they might even be the safest play here. They were taking hormone
steroids.
Yes, steroids. Mm-hmm. And as such, became to look like a male.
But wasn't allowed to compete with men, wasn't able to change genders in competition. So, so he is having to wrestle females still.
Yes, and just destroying.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around.
No, I believe that that is the case. Okay, so I've been interested to keep track of some of these Zoom fails, right? Some of them are kind of lighthearted. You know, the dad walks by with a, you know, he's a guy, he's whitey-tighties for his kids' class, virtually learning. You know, it's these are almost sort of played out at this point because in 1 month we all became familiar with Zoom and got very tired of it. But at a university in... Okay, it's University of Miami. A professor was conducting an online lesson last week when he shared his computer screen with his business analytics class. And he made the tragic digital mistake of forgetting to close one of the tabs when he shared his screen.
Mm.
Now, once upon a time, there was a man that we've had on this show a few times, Dan, who's was watching the Cowboys draft on his computer, and he shared a screenshot of the war room. This is several years ago. Now, the Cowboys draft live was in one tab.
Computer!
I don't know who it was. The other three tabs were all adult sites.
Hmm.
And that is what happened to Professor John Ping Zhang.
Always go what? Incognito window.
Yeah, Dan and I talk about that a lot, that we feel like we're...
They'll never be able to track us.
We're Ed Snowden over here when we go to private window. Like, it's not all sending everything right to the government and your wife.
Right.
Yeah, that probably flags it even more, right? Like the incognito stuff.
Yeah.
Any word on what three tabs those were open in the Cowboy War Room?
I honestly don't remember. I know that they were all adult, but in this case, the professor who...
Wife enjoys BB, and then you don't know the third letter?
They never really look like they're enjoying it all that much. Seems to be more...
Wife fun. Tolerates.
I think one...
permits.
I thought one
wife
was...
Wife endures.
One was like an Aggie website, because it said ATM, right?
Hmm.
Well, hold these thoughts for 1 second, because in the case of this University of Miami professor, he got popped, if you will, with a bookmark saved to his browser entitled Busty College Girl. Now, the news story from which I'm reading says this. One of the first students who spotted the bookmark, which bared the name of a popular, quote, niche of porn... What sort of amateur wrote this article where busty college girl could be considered niche?
That used to be like one of the most common categories of porn.
Yeah.
Now that seems so, I don't know, old school, throwbacky.
Is it niche or niche?
Niche or niche.
I always say niche.
Not niche. Can't be niche. So would the term missionary be considered niche?
Probably now that's considered a fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
You get tired of that pretty much immediately.
I don't know that I've ever really seen that on film.
That.
Unless there's some sort of...
You've never seen that as a title? You've never pumped that in as a search?
As it were. No, I've definitely never searched
it's never
it.
Never a category.
I don't even know that I've ever...
Eels is.
Eels. I don't know that I've ever actually even seen that depicted on film. I mean, there's... I guess if you got... What was
just
it?
On a Skinamax or something, right?
Unless what, unless it's still missionary. If what is occurring, I think Gordon said the other day is wearing your shoes as earrings or something.
Wearing your ankles as earrings.
Wearing your ankles as earrings. If that's still
that can't be that defeats the missionary. Although
it does.
The position technically is that
right.
If ankles are being worn as earrings, there's nothing that seems really proselytizing about that.
I don't have a word for it.
Let's see.
Why? I'm concerned that you're searching something on your computer right now.
Dan or me?
Dan.
I went incognito.
Okay.
And I just searched missionary.
You're looking at porno right now. On the air. In
Dude,
the
we're
zone.
On the air.
On the air.
Look, there's a lot.
I don't want to look.
If you put it in there, you're going to get a lot.
I don't want to look. Now I know what site you use when you just turned your computer.
Gross. What did he put on? What did he put on there?
It looks like it's the hub.
Meat! He went to the hub. It's sad when I know exactly what you're talking about, when hub is a generic term.
Right.
But yet if you say the hub, we know which one.
My greatest fear in life
but
is
not
that,
as niche as I thought it would be.
Oh, really nothing is.
But
other than
but you just thought who would ever search that?
Yeah.
Apparently that's commonly typed in and searched.
Niche now is
I'll turn that off.
Cartoon with continuity errors.
There I X'd out.
Like when Peter appears with Marge.
That's
niche.
Yeah, doesn't that bother you? Like,
oh, it drives
me insane. If it was Homer and Marge, you'd be on board.
It was a personal favorite. But whenever...
Or Ned Flanders, because the neighbor's wife. That's
right.
Always a...
Yeah, I...
Forbidden
fruit. I have this fear that somehow my computer is either going to be hacked or my phone or something, and I'm going to end up live streaming my act. Like, it almost seems like you need a dedicated burner for that, so that somehow, like, it's not periscoping on Twitter. Like, I've enabled that somehow, and that is my version of being canceled. Although, maybe people would find that almost endearing, in a sense.
To watch you finishing?
Well, that it happened to you. They would feel so bad that you might get a little bit of a sympathy play there.
No one's going to feel bad if you get
fired. Doubt it. I doubt it.
It's probably true.
Everybody saw Jake looking like he's breaking out in coronavirus symptoms. All sweaty and
out of
shaky.
For some reason,
can't
I've lost my
breath.
Lost my sense of taste.
Wearing a ventilator.
Whoa. He does that?
And I'm hoarding them. Well, the hospitals are over capacity and I'm... Okay, let's go local here.
What was the last story? I don't even remember doing a story.
Well, it was
yeah,
a professor.
What was the story?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, where did this happen?
It happened at the University of Miami.
Okay.
But I imagine this is happening all over. People accidentally sharing things on their screen.
Here's the problem with that one is that he is a professor.
Right, and
that
he
mentions college.
Yeah, exactly. Like the problem, well.
Go on.
I'm going to. Gordon has me extra excited to touch the stove, and I just realized that which friend is in the room.
Come on.
But I think it's fascinating, though, because I read that book on your recommendation, Gordon, the Everybody Lies, the Big Data book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your browser history, incognito or not, Snowden, says more about you than any other collection of data that you have ever produced as a human being. And
right.
No one knows, but, you know, someone knows. And so I imagine that a lot of people will fall into this same situation during virtual or teleworking or whatever you want to call it, where you just forgot that you had, blacked.com.
Whoa.
You know, next year.
As a talk show host, I need to research a lot of different topics.
Right.
Uh-oh. So it's not necessarily. Sort of up an incognito window again.
Ethnographer of sorts. Regarding the absolute headache that is what can open and what can't, and who are we supposed to listen to, city, county, state, federal. There was a story, I think it was last night, a salon owner in the city of Dallas is openly defying the Dallas County Judge Clay Country Strong Jenkins order, deeming her business non-essential. Salon a la mode. And this is a bit of audio from her news interview the other night.
And speaking of openings and closings, a judge has ordered one owner to shut down her salon until May 12th. Shelley Luther owns Salon a la Mode in Dallas. She reopened her place last Friday, defying the restrictions on barbershops and salons. But today, a judge came back with an ultimatum. Close the salon or be in contempt of court.
If I have to make a stand, I'm not shutting the salon down. I'm not. I'm not physically doing it myself. So if that means I have to go to jail, I'll go.
It's basically Rosa Parks.
No, that's... A bit of a stretch. There is no way that she will be considered the new Rosa Parks.
Well, you say that, but once upon a time, do you remember Jen Floyd Engel, sports writer?
Mm-hmm.
She wrote an article where she compared Johnny Manziel taking money for autographs. She compared him to Rosa Parks because
really?
he was engaging in civil disobedience And that's one of my top five favorite sports columns of all time.
She wants you to forget that one, believe me.
I once drove in the, before the change in 635, I drove in the HOV lane, got a ticket for that same, very same reason. I felt it was unfair, unjust, that they would have that.
So you're declaring yourself the Rosa Parks of HOV lanes?
That's right. Back in the early 2000s. And look at the change that I have helped. They now have, you know, more. It's a pay big thing down below. And there are more lanes because of me.
Yeah, and racism still exists. So you might even say that you were more successful
than Rosa Parks.
Than Rosa was.
Wow.
But back to the owner of Salon a la Mode. I want to say that Junior Miller would be very interested in this story.
Oh, okay.
As am I. And I will fight to keep this woman out of jail.
Let me open up an incognito window here.
Her name is Shelley Luther. So
Shelley Luther,
oh, dear.
BBC.
Look, she's pulled that mask down. Oh, yeah, she pulled it down.
Okay.
By the way,
there's ankle earrings. Okay.
There is a multitude of quarantine porno, Gordon. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
Let's get her on.
Really?
I'm like, oh, yeah. It took about a week for there to be the top, like, 50 results being mask-oriented or...
masks?
Stepson quarantined with stepmom can't take it anymore. Or so.
Yeah, I only choose the not stepson.
Right.
She tore up her citation during the Open Texas rally in Frisco.
Hell yeah.
Defying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've been naughty, haven't you?
She wants to define my
Let me also point out, there's a 0% chance this woman is going to jail.
Yeah, the cops went out there and just stood around. They didn't do anything to her.
Well, they showed up and they're like, come on.
Boy, she did like a mic drop, too. Like, what are you going to do?
That's extremely hot.
What are you going to do, officer?
Yeah.
Is that your nightstick?
And it yet again proves, because I guess I'm going to kind of assign some political pathology here to Mrs. Luther, that it does seem that most of the people who are open back up, disobey the order, it's time for this, it's time for that, Dan Patrick saying we'll just die if we need to get the economy open, it does seem to slightly lean conservative, which yet again proves how much hotter conservative women are on average.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You think that's true?
Like, the libs are funnier.
I think Fox News has certainly
conservatives are hotter,
trained my
right?
brain to think that. Yeah.
Women are funnier.
Yeah, for sure.
Huh.
Conservative women are hotter.
I don't know about any of this.
What would you rather
have? I think we need a Dale commentary on this to get you guys set straight.
I think what you're saying there, Dan, is lib women, funny, conservative women, hotter. I mean, is there anything that you want more than just a nice centrist? Doesn't that really get the blood going? Or is that just boring? Yeah, I think
everything's just got to be one or the other. There is no center.
Well, I would like to meet Miss Shelley Luther, and I need some eyebrow work done. So if she'd like to have me out, I would enjoy.
Are you still
that.
Manscaping in quarantine? You still
what? Like downstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that last night. That's gone the wayside a little bit.
Yours has.
Seems a bit of a wild country down there.
Gross. Yeah, you know what? I support this woman's right to open her business. I may have to go see her today.
Well, actually, I already called it, so...
Get my...
I don't need...
Haircut.
A much more famous and moneyed radio man to show up there. you know what? Let's go now, because we have a barrel of gold just waiting for us on the other side of this thing. Up next, remember Alamo Art.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Trey. Hey, Trey, what's going on?
Jake, we got Brooklyn in.
All right. Thank you, Trey.
I was on program three there.
Let's talk about how to make your house as comfortable as possible right now. I say you do it with your sheets. I say you do it by checking out Brooklyn. All right, Dan and Jake live from the Dragon Den. And we will conclude our time in the Hang Zone today, which features the greatest of all known Gordons.
Thank you for having me on.
We
I'm excited
really
about this next segment because this is some of my favorite audio of all time.
It's 1A, 1B for me with Javier.
You're going to bring up Javier. I knew you were going to say Javier.
Yes. Javier is my spirit animal. And when you ask someone what their favorite part of a woman is, they offer the PC answer of the face. And you dig a little deeper. If their answer is the booty, got to be the booty. I quote Javier to myself more than anything that has ever happened on the ticket. Michael McDonough.
I couldn't believe when you brought this up with me the first time, and you had the whole thing memorized.
Yeah, favorite Beatle? That'd probably be the Bruce Springsteen.
Probably be the Bruce Springsteen.
Now,
his favorite Beatle.
Get in my red car maybe tomorrow. If you check back in 5 years, that may be on the metal stand as well. But for now, it would have to unseat Alamo Art, because here's two of my leaders. Rare, rare team-up from Dan McDowell and Gordon Keith. And what do you think this was, Dan? 2009?
It's 2009.
2009. Okay. So you guys are out canvassing for audio. Looking for interesting people to talk to as you're in San Antonio for the Cowboys training camp. And you stumble upon a man who will later identify himself to you as Art in this audio. Now, would you guys like to provide any sort of visual description of what you remember about Art, who was near the Alamo?
Dan, you want to go first? How would you describe him?
You know, just a smallish guy. I'm trying to remember in my head what he looked like. Certainly a man of the street.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
Right?
No,
just
I don't think he was.
Looked like he spent
no, he
a bit of time
homeless.
Out there.
See, I don't know. That's the thing.
No, I don't think he was homeless.
I don't think
no?
he was either. And I don't think he has any sort of, you know, mental illness he's dealing with or something. I think he's just an interesting cat.
Okay, so as Jake said he wanted to do this, the other night I'm watching Idiocracy. And I feel like he looks like the guy who is trying to proposition Maya Rudolph, and then she'd keep pushing him back another day, like, oh, yeah, you want somebody? Okay, well, you're going to have to wait for it. Here, give me that money. You remember that guy, Gordon?
Barely. I remember the character. I don't remember what he looked like. Alamo Art, though, was kind of he was probably about 5'6", and he was a little bit dumpy. He had a spare tire around
definitely
his gut.
Smallish.
He was wearing a cowboy jersey, and he had some patchy facial hair.
Okay, well, let's jump in here, and at any point you guys would like me to stop this, feel free. I'm sure there will be plenty of those occasions.
We're Radio Dallas.
Oh, really?
You ever heard of radio in Dallas?
Uh-huh.
Now, what's your name again?
Art.
Art. Well, first of all, tell us about your teeth. Describe your teeth.
Oh, they're gold. They're 10-karat gold, and I got them specially made for my teeth.
Specially made for
you? Yeah. I wear tons of gold. I wear rings and...
You're just not wearing it this evening?
I'm not wearing it. I wear about $6,000 worth of gold. I wear on...
Stop it. Stop it. Do you believe him there?
No.
But I don't remember that he had that much gold on.
No, I think
he's
saying...
He had some nugget chains or something on.
Yeah, yeah.
But $6,000 worth of gold, that's something.
Yeah, and I want to focus on his cadence, because as you could hear there, he's already kind of getting into a melodic rhythm when he says, I wear $6,000 of gold.
Sing-songy?
Yeah.
You're just not wearing it this evening?
I'm not wearing it. I wear about $6,000 worth of gold. I wear it on Sundays.
To church? Fun.
Yeah, I wear it to church, and I wear it to the... I was at the Alamo Dome with all my gold.
Maybe I was at the Alamo Dome with all my gold. Okay. For some reason. Kind of sent me into hypnosis this morning.
On Sundays.
To church? Fun.
Yeah, I wear it to church, and I wear it to the... I was at the Alamo Dome with all my gold.
Man, you got
my Alamo Dome with all my gold.
Signed by, it looks like a lot of... that's Jerry Jones' autograph right there.
Yeah.
Tell us who you got.
I have Sam Hurst. I have...
Okay, so...
Right, stop.
Yeah. Sam Hurd?
Sam Hurd, but...
He called him Hurst.
I don't know if Gordon was being serious in pointing out Jerry's autograph. Jerry signs a lot of autographs at training camp, so it likely was. And this man defaced a hat with Jerry's autograph on it by getting an undrafted free agent who is in prison until 2040 to also sign the hat. And he also doesn't know
the biggest names in cowboy lore, Jerry Jones and Sam Hurst.
Sam Hurst.
Tell us who you got. I have Sam Hurst. I have Barbara, and I have Kevin Burnett.
Wait.
And
Kevin Burnett. Marion Barber, okay. You know, he's
just getting whoever he can.
And Jerry. Do you think it says a lot about the owner of the team that he'll sign the same autographs as a guy that his practice squad will?
I have, what's his name, Sam Hurst?
And yeah, you did that
Jim
one.
Minority right, we're back there.
And I have Bill Bates right there. And
are you a big Cowboy fan?
Yeah. And look at this one.
Wow.
This one has more. That's about 46 autographs, all Cowboys.
What happened to your thumb? It looks very discolored and in bad repair.
I was at work and this idiot came and slammed the door right on my finger.
You can laugh about it now, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how quickly he pivoted to laughing at a man apparently assaulting him.
And I heard it like crazy, and it smashed him. It smashed me good. And I have another jersey here of Rayfield Rice.
You're done talking about the thumb. Yeah.
You want me to tell you about it more?
Yeah. Can you animate the thumb and kind of give it a voice and tell us the story about what happened?
Oh, what happened?
You know, like do it in a high pitched voice, and the thumb is talking.
Oh, it said, ay. That's what it said, ay. And I told him, you stupid moron. And that's what I told him, man. You stupid ass, I told him. I'm smashing my finger, man. And I went to tell him more stuff, but the owner was there, and I didn't want to tell him more stuff. They heard it for a while. Like my blood was going to my finger. So, and I have more jerseys of
this. Is this still the thumb talking about the jerseys?
No.
Okay.
No, this is about, I just like the Dallas Cowboys.
Who's talking now? Is it a different?
No.
Your feet?
No, it's my mouth.
Oh, okay. This is you talking now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking now.
Now, describe your hair for us, Art. Because it's like all shaved except for the front widow's peak, which is grown out like pubic hair.
Yeah. Well, I let it grow.
Yeah.
He didn't offer a lot of pushback on the idea that his hair looked like pubic hair. Yeah. Yeah.
Peak, which is grown out like pubic hair.
Yeah. Well, I let it grow and I put gel on it, and it turns real curly and it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, hey, you have a bad haircut, man.
Art, do you do anything with your pubic hair?
No, I don't.
You let it grow wild?
Yeah, I let it grow wild.
What else do you have in that bag?
Just that.
Do you have a piece?
Okay. Do you feel that there's any sort of prejudice in your line of questioning here?
What did I ask?
You asked the man if he has a gun.
Well, you know, Texas.
In with your cowboy jersey signed by Kevin Burnett and Bill Bates, are you carrying a piece, is what you asked.
No. No, I don't carry a piece.
Can you carry a gun? Are you legally able to carry a gun?
No, I can't carry a piece, but I want to because I wear so much gold and money, I carry a large amount of money in my pocket.
Do you have any history with the law or anything?
Yeah, I've been arrested when I was a kid.
For doing what?
In California, I used to hang around with the Cholos.
Cholos?
Yeah, you know, the gang from Mexico, from California.
You did some gang stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever knife a guy?
Now, what about you, Gordon?
Did you ever knife a guy? See, I think I might have just thought he looked like a guy with a piece, Gordon thought he looked like a guy who would do a voice and talk about his thumb from the perspective of the thumb.
What's
so funny about him? There was no premise I could throw at him that he wouldn't just go with as if it was the most natural, normal thing ever.
But I noticed you didn't ask him if he's ever thrown like a throwing star at anyone or anything like that.
I could have. I just chose knife.
There's some gang stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever knife a guy?
My friends, they did. They knife guys and everything and beat them up and put them in the hospital. Every week they were putting somebody in the hospital.
And what was your reaction to that? Did you defend the person that they were attacking or did you stand in the corner being sexually aroused?
They were my friends, so I didn't say nothing.
Can you sing a song to your fallen friends?
I'm not a good singer.
Well, no, again, I think they don't mind, you know? Uh-huh. They're in hell right now, probably just wanting to hear your voice again.
I can't sing.
Just let it go.
Okay.
Buddy, but clear his throat.
See, that's the back-to-back.
He's prepping.
Oh, me? Who, me?
No, I can't.
Probably just wanting to hear your voice again.
I can't sing.
Just whatever's in your heart, just let it come out in song.
Oh, let there be peace to all the people who hurt each other, and the Lord will forgive them for whatever they have done. That's the best thing I could do.
How about just one more verse?
Let me see. No more game.
All right, real quick, I just want to note that...
I can't do it. That's the best I got. One more verse.
And he takes a good 8 to 10 seconds saying, kind of muttering, let me see. Give you the idea he's come up with something.
But he's quickly revising it in his head to get it just right.
No more killing of your own kind of race, and let there be peace with everybody. It doesn't matter what kind of race you're in, you should always love your race. White or brown, whatever. But no more killing, and let there be peace, because they're your brothers. That's it.
That's it. He just lets you know that he's done. That's
so
it.
Just no killing your own kind of race.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like we need a follow-up question.
Your own kind of race.
So, well, it doesn't matter what kind of race you're in.
Right. Just no killing your own race?
Oh, wow.
Any kind of race.
Oh. Yeah. You need a third verse then.
Okay. No more killing of your own third of any kind of race.
Your own third.
Let there be peace with everybody.
Like
white or black, whatever. Brown, let it be peace.
It's okay to kill terrorists, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about a verse about it's okay to kill terrorists regardless of their race?
Like the guys that did 9/11.
Yeah. Right? How about a verse about them?
Just
an exception to the rules that you made before.
That's the one race.
People who...
Okay. In the middle of Gordon talking, he goes, okay. And then he's so excited to offer the terrorist addendum to his version of the Geneva Convention that he cuts you off to jump back into song.
Eager to get into it.
Just an exception to the rules that you made before.
That's the one race.
People who... terrorists that kill people shall rot in hell, and they don't have no heart, and may they not be forgiven, and may they pay for their own mistakes. Whatever they have killed is mine of the devil, and only God's way is the only way, and not killing people is not the Lord's way. So terrorists, whatever you do, may you punish for what you do, and you burn in hell.
Completely lost the melody now.
Amen. That's the best I could do, man.
I don't know. Any message for Santa Claus?
I want to thank Santa Claus.
So, where does that question come from?
I don't know.
This is like July.
Like, at least the talking thumb came from the fact that the thumb was injured and may have something to say about that.
Look, Gordon's in found money mode now.
No shot is
a bad shot in this offense.
And, obviously, you played the first 2 seconds. he had an immediate answer for Santa. Like, I'm glad you asked that, because that was on the tip of my tongue anyway.
Hey, man. That's the best I could do, man.
I don't know. Any message for Santa Claus?
I want to thank Santa Claus for all the beautiful girls there is. And, you know, all the white chicks and brown chicks and black chicks, whatever. That there's beautiful chicks everywhere. Santa Claus, thank you very much.
Thank you, Art. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your courage.
That's right. Follow his theological underpinnings there, but sure.
He's really hung up on race. Right. Really hung up on race. I don't remember any of us asking about race.
No. No.
But yet he made his song about race, and then when he was thanking Santa Claus, he ran through the races again.
But maybe when you brought him back to his gang days, he was remembering the saddest thing about that was that we were killing each other.
Our own kind, right. As he termed
it. So few of us.
That's the saddest part of gang activity.
Right. Had they been killing other races, that'd be one thing.
Gordon sent me this. It says, Art's message for Dallas. I have not previewed this.
Do you have any message for the city of Dallas? This will be played in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Message from San Antonio.
Dallas is a good little town. I like it because there's a lot of commercials over there made. And I worked in a couple of movies myself.
Okay.
And in a way, I wish I lived in Dallas, but I don't, because I just like San Antonio because it's bigger and beautiful. But I like Dallas because it's always commercials and TV shows made over there, and the Dallas Cowboys are over there. Like that.
Very well put.
Touching.
Starred in a couple movies. Not sure if his geographic knowledge checks out in the world fact book.
Dallas is tiny.
It's a good little town.
Sleepy town.
Cute little place.
Mm-hmm. But,
I prefer the hustle and bustle of the big city.
Okay, one more thing here. I know we're up against it. We can't play this whole thing. And Gordon, I don't know if you recall, did a P1 send this to you? But this is Alamo Art set to music. And it's incredible.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. He sang us, didn't cover a certain, to exclude terrorists from this. He said they should kill each other. And on the CD is Alamo Art.
I've done.
It's pretty synth heavy, I've got to warn you. And I got a groove.
Something you may hear on the Quiet Storm at night.
Let there be peace to all the people who hurt each other. And the Lord will forgive them for whatever they have done. No more game, no more killing of your own kind of race. And let there be peace with everybody. It doesn't matter what kind of race you're in. You should always love your race.
So basically, we learned that all Art needed was a good producer to harness that talent, some direction on
his George Martin.
Right, exactly. He needed his Rick Rubin, someone in composition and arrangement, and he was able to put that out. Man, it's just so good.
Oh, it's classic so audio. Sometime we need to get together and review Javier now.
Oh, the day can't get here quick enough. And I don't know that Dan, maybe next time the Jiverly Wong manifesto will hit on the topic wheel, and we can teach Dan about ultra-modern technique. Thank you for your time, Gordon. We appreciate it, dude.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
See, I just now picked up that Trey is firing off the very faint rant music at the start and end of Gordon's appearance. So 2 points for Trey.